A word from the Gospel of Mark, page 32 in your pew Bible. Jesus has left the synagogue, and he's in the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They told him about her at once. He took her by the hand, lifted her up. Her fever left her, and she began to serve them. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. And Simon and his companion hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." And he answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." May the Lord bless to our hearts and to our understanding the readings from his word. It is estimated that it was a spectacle that drew billions of people, the largest on record. Not the American Sniper, the Super Bowl, of course. Two great gladiators met in Phoenix, Arizona. On the one hand, there were some Hawks, on the other, some Patriots. 3 hours or so later, the Patriots left, adorned with wreaths, rings, shirts, hats, and lots of money. Whilst the other will be discussing a last-minute quarrel at the goal line. The subject of faith in sports has taken on a great dimension in America. The wife of the gladiator for the Patriots had sent out a missive: "Pray for Tom Brady to win. Otherwise, he will be very sad, and so will I." Thousands adjoined Giselle to entreat the Almighty to lead him to victory. The legacy was on the line. We are told that's all they were thinking about. Perhaps there was a scripture verse on his eyelids, Isaiah 40:31. I won't ask you. "They shall run and be not be weary, they shall walk and not faint." Remember that Michigan quarterback running over to a fallen Ohio State gladiator and kneeling down next to him, saying a prayer? Meanwhile, the ACLU and all keeps up the lawsuits, seeking to end prayers at ball games and everywhere else. I'm permitted to pray at City Hall and at the Detroit Economic Club as long as I don't mention Jesus. But I have them, I wear the cross. Some of you may recall a motivational speaker named Richard Carlson. He was a psychotherapist who became world famous with a single book, "Don't Sweat the Small Stuff." Well, he went on to pen another 30 books, and one was entitled "Don't Get Scrooged: How to Thrive in a World Full of Obnoxious, Incompetent, Arrogant, and Downright Mean-Spirited People." And his advice pointed out 100 ways to keep the little things from getting over your life. Well, I classify Mr. Carlson as a guru. He dispensed advice to the masses from many sources, a minute manager of the soul, as it were. Don't worry, make money. But if you check the bibliography, you found such names as Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, Lois Louise Hay, Bernie Siegel, Marianne Williamson. Their books and their shows can be found under the title "Secular Spirituality in America, the Latest Fad." But my friends, it is the Book of Books to which we turn. It is in these pages that we find the wisdom of the ages. It is here that you find that hound of heaven searching for you. This generation of parents listened to the Beatles, and they were running around the world seeking for the spirituality. My generation celebrated survival after Hiroshima and Nagasaki and experienced Vietnam. My parents' generation sought God amidst a world of depression and war. Today's generation faces savage Islamic terrorists bent on world domination. But so it was in the era of the Crusades, as the Europeans defended themselves against aggression. As a pilot burns, Christians beheaded flash across the screens, to whom will this generation turn? Beyonce? Eminem? Lady Gaga? Miley Cyrus? The Beat? Sam? Vote tonight. The answer, my friends, is blowing in the wind. Not that grass-burning stuff. You know, it's okay to smoke and drive now, they say. But it's the spirit of a living God, made known only through his word. The psalmist sang as the choir sang the this morning. Come and see what God has done, the great deeds God has performed. Now, history is not America's favorite subject, but the question each has to face is this: what matters? Humankind is in search for a life that matters. As we search for meaning, we experience evil. Why is there evil? Why do these terrible things happen? Thomas Aquinas admitted the existence of evil is the best argument against the existence of God. Augustine opined, "Do not seek to know more than is appropriate." Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel suggested, "Perhaps God has retracted himself. God is in exile. But every person, if he or she tries hard enough, can redeem themselves in humankind. But we have found we cannot. Why, God, why still trembles on our lips as we experience pain or suffering or death?" Those disciples were in that boat with Jesus, and a storm hit. And they cried out, "Don't you care if we drown?" The bottom line is this: as we face evil, suffering, or pain, we cry out, we yell, "Don't you care, God?" In the words of the psalmist, prophet, seers, there are no easy answers to be found. And no mud baths, nude pools, charms, 7, 10, 12 steps will help. You come back to Job. "I cry to you, Lord, why do you cast me off?" We experience a relieved darkness. Now, Job has his friends, and their attitude was determined by their intellectual theories rather than brotherly love. They dared not extend their sympathy to one whom God was hiding his face from. It might be touching. So Job hears the Lord. "Where were you when I created the world?" You see, the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Matthew Arnold penned it, "The world which seems to lie before us like a land of dreams, so beautiful, so new, hath really neither joy nor love nor light nor certitude nor peace nor help for pain. We are here as on a darkling plain." John Calvin reminded us, in the Psalms we frequently observe how faithful men and women, wearied in their praying, seemed to beat the air, and God seemed deaf to their petitions. But they did not desist from praying. The Bible instructs, pray without ceasing. For the silence of God does not mean the absence of God. God is present in silence. God stands in the darkness, ever keeping watch over his own. Rabbi Harold Kushner, in his book, Who Needs God?, speaks of those who are in bereavement. They feel they'll never be happy again. They're described by the poet Gibran, people with their backs to the sun. And what is the sun but a caster of shadows and darkness? My friends, despite all, God will take you by the hand. God will guide you even though the valley of the shadow of death is upon you. He will lead you to that sunlight on the other side. For God is found in our human capacity to cherish someone as being more valuable than life itself. But Krishna went on, God has created everything holy. Our task as humans is to find that holiness in what appears to be unholy situations. And if we could learn to do this, we will have learned to nurture our souls. But life is filled with a desire to see holiness in everyday things. There's a feeling of peace that emerges when we remember that everything, everyone, has God's fingerprints. We know we're special. If God has a purpose for your life, for mine, God's will be done, we pray. And when we review the works of God, the great things that God had done in our lives, when we see that human power has brought us only war and despair, pain and suffering, we recall our roots, the primal saving event in Israel's history, the Exodus. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Listen, were you there when they crucified my Lord? You see, Jesus accepted the wound in creation, human suffering. He devoted his life to healing, to overcoming. demoniac out, he healed, he cast out demons, he prayed. His disciples found him, and Jesus said, "Let us go, that I may proclaim the message, for that is what I came to do." Friends, we live in a culture afflicted with Calvin Klein's obsession. I love me. I will save me. I do this for me. But all the books in the world, all the TV shows or popular gurus cannot save you, nor grant you peace for your soul. Let me share a secret. The message for living today is found in God's Word. You want a short message for living? Listen to Solomon. In his youth, he wrote the Song of Songs. It was all about his love and his lover. In his adulthood, he wrote the Proverbs, became known as the wisest man in the world. In his old age, he struggled with faith and life, and he wrote Ecclesiastes, the Questioner, closing with these words, "Fear God, do what God tells you," and that's it. The psalmist said today, "You who are seeking God, these are the things he has done for me. He has accepted me despite my sins and failures. He listens when I cry out to him. He responds with solace and support. I proclaim God's praises because I know God will love me forever." Jesus said, "Be still. Know that God is God, and I will be with you even to the end of time." Know this. God comes to each and every one of us in our gardens of Gethsemane, or our storm-tossed boats, or our loss of spirit. God accepts you as you are. God loves you just as you are. God hears your cries and prayers. God responds with solace and support. God saves you to serve, to proclaim the message. Believe it. Praise the Lord. And one day, we'll all stand around that throne, praising God's holy name. Not like the cheers of fans and stadiums, like the waves of hundreds of oceans thundering at the shores. The Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. Amen.